daf is Bava Kama daf Ayin Ches. So we're actually up to daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph at the top, but we were in the middle of a discussion. So the Gemara had said that sometimes the word O seems to come to be Mima'it. Sometimes the word O seems to come to be Marbe, right? We had Shar O Kesev, and we said Prat L'Klayim, and O A's was Prat L'Nidme, right? So the word O, Nidme is different than Klayim. I don't think I explained yesterday. Klayim is when you have parents of two different Minim. So they to get together, they have a baby. That baby is klayim. Nidme is when you have parents that are. If you look at Rashi on 9 Zayin and Beis, nidme de enu dome la aviv lo li imo shabama ael v'rachel v'dome la eis. It's just a mutant. It looks like a different min of animal, even though its parents are not a different min of animal. So nidme is it's just a strange type of situation where the wrong kind of animal comes out as a baby. So the Gemara had said. Yet at the same time, we have O L'Ravos HaSaklayim, when it says Rav had said Zeh Bnei Av Kol Malkum Shem Aseh Einu Ela L'Hotzi HaSaklayim, and we said no, but the word O comes to be Marbe Klayim sometimes. So the word O sometimes is Marbe, sometimes is Mait. So what's the rule? So the Gemara says you have to look at the context of the Pasuk. So by Gneva, when we're talking about the Chiv of Dalet V'Hei, it says Shar Oseh, which She'iyat Yach Lahotzi Klayim Ibenem, which together can't have a baby. So then O must be L'Rabos Klayim, because from Shar Oseh, so I would know on my own to be Mimait Klayim, because Shar Oseh together can't have a baby. So O comes to be Marbe Klayim. But by Kachim, where it says Kesev Ve'ez, where the two animals chosen are animals that are able to have a baby together, Shati Yachalot Zeklaim Yivneim, O L'Ma'itu, then O must come to be M'Ma'it Klaim. So that seems to be the rule. Whenever the animals under discussion are animals that are able to reproduce together, so then I would think Klaim is included, and therefore I need O to be M'Ma'it. Whenever the two animals are not animals that are able to reproduce together, they're animals that are unable to reproduce together, so I would automatically exclude Klaim, and O is coming, L'Rabo says a Klaim. So, Frek V'Gemara V'Hagabe Kachim Nami, but by Kachim also, it doesn't only give an example of two animals that are able to reproduce, it also says, Nemar Shor O Kesev, She'not Yachal Hotzi Klayim Ibenem, where you cannot be Motzi Klayim from a Shor and a Kesev, meaning, the Pasuk does not say Kesev always, the Pasuk says, Shor O Kesev O Eiz, Ki Yivaleid, and it tells you that you have to wait 7 days till it's eligible to become a Karban. But it clearly says Shor also, so Shor and Kesev are two animals that are not able to reproduce together. So nevertheless, so Venar, so why don't I say that the O, therefore, should come to be Marbe Klayim rather than to be Mema'it Klayim when it comes to Kadshim? So it says, well, no, me the safe of the Ma'it, Reisha Nami the Ma'it. Because if the second O, when it says O'ez, Kesav O'ez, is coming to be Mema'it Klayim, so the Reisha is also coming to be Mema'it Klayim. When it says Shor O'Kesav, it's coming to be Mema'it Klayim. So, Frek the Gemara, Adaraba, why would you go backwards? Why would you say, well, let's take a look at what the Seif is probably coming to do, and then say, oh, that's probably what the Reisha meant also. It's more logical to go in the other direction. Me the Reisha L'Rabos, Seif Anami L'Rabos. Why don't you say that if the Reisha is coming to be Marbe Klayim, it makes sense that the Seif is also coming to be Marbe Klayim. So, Hai Mai, says Gemara, Iyam Rishlam al Ma'id. Now, look, if we're trying to be Mema'id Klayim, who de Itzrich Tre Miuti? So, I understand why you need two Miutim. You need O, two separate Miutim, if you're coming to be Mema'id Klayim. The Afgav Dimit Klayim, Itzrich Lamutin Nidme. You need one to tell me that Klayim is excluded from being Kachim, from being brought on the Mizbeach. And another pasuk to tell me that the what seems like a lesser violation, what seems like a lesser problem, nidme, is also excluded. Because nidme, after all, comes from normal stock, comes from normal parents. It's just what? Just because the animal's a little bit ugly? Meaning it looks a little different than its parents, so we should exclude it? So that's why I need two miyutim, one to be mema'it klayim, and one to be mema'it nidme. Eli'i amrit l'rabos, but if it's coming to include klayim, so trei ribuy lama. Why would I need two separate ribuyim? Hashta klayim irbilei nidme mibayi. Once I'm being marbe klayim, do I need a separate ribuy to be marbe nidme? Meaning, apparently, the Gemara is assuming that if we had only one ribuy, there's no way you would have used it for nidme. There's no way you would have used it to say, oh, we'll be marba nidma, and we still wouldn't have known klaim, right? That's rash paskasha, meaning we're saying, if we only had one miyut, so I would have been mimayit klaim, I wouldn't have been mimayit nidma. If we only have one ribui, so then I would only be marba klaim, I would be marba klaim, and mil, I would know nidma. Why don't I say if I had one ribui, I would be marba nidma? And then, so apparently the starting point is always klaim. Nidme is unusual enough that we would never have, either unusual enough or not enough of an issue, that we would never have assumed that the drasha is about nidme at first. Once you have a drasha that's about klaim, and that's already covered, then we could move on to nidme. But klaim is always the more pressing issue when we're talking about different kinds of animals, sharo, kesev, oes, so we're always going to think klaim first. So when we're coming to be mima'et, so we think klaim first, we're mima'et klaim, we still don't know that you should be mima'et nidme. When we're coming to be marbe, so if we were coming to be marbe rather, so the word o would be marbe klaim, I would know on my own to be marbe nidme as well, because once you're marbe klaim, it's logical that you're going to be marbe nidme as well. So that's the Rashba doesn't really explain it exactly like that, but it's his kasha. That's what the Rashba asks. How could we? I don't know if I understood exactly how the Rashba was answering, but something along those lines. The Rashba was saying that from the pasuk alone, you would have been marbe. You would have thought only in terms of klayim had you not had a second riboy or a second miyut, a second o. So that's how we know that the o's are coming to be mema'it, not coming to be marbe. So says Gemara, Elahada Amarava Zebneav Kol Makom Shemar Se Einu Elahotzias Klayim L'may Hilchsa. But wait a second, Rava said this is a binyanav for Kol Torah Kula. Now whenever it says se, it always comes to exclude klayim. So regarding what halacha does the word se come to exclude klayim? Ila kachim behediksev bo shar o kesev prat leklayim. We already have an o, a special extra word in the pasuk, to be memait klayim by kachim. So don't tell me that it's the fact that the word se appears and se always comes to be memait klayim. That's not true. That's not where we learn it from. We learn it from the word o in the pasuk to be memait klayim. And ila meiser, and if it's in terms of meiser, tachas, yalav mikachim. And if it's an issue of meiser behema, so then, again, we don't learn it from the word seh. We know it from tachas, that we learn from kachim, that if kachim, which happens to be from the word oh, we know that klayim is excluded, and we have the word tachas by kachim, we have the word tachas by meiser, so we learn tachas, and meiser from kachim, that klayim is excluded. So it's not from the word se that we know it by meiser either. If you look at Rashi, ila meiser behema v'yafagav deloch siv be se el etzon, right, it never says the word se. I mean, what's the havamina that it would be by meiser? It never says the word se by meiser. So why would I think that by meiser behema it's the word se that teaches me to exclude klayim? I mean, what does the Gemara even have to tell me that to tell me otherwise? It doesn't say se, it says tzon. Kamrava de pasul harminu bebechoros linin mili tuva de gamar tachas shev mitachasim imo hilkachla milsi yovnami pasul. Meaning, even though it doesn't say se, it says tzon, still when it's close enough, sometimes we associate the two to each other. So over here it says, even though what it says tzon rather than se, nevertheless, the tachas, is enough of a drasha. Says Gemara Vayter, v'ilu b'char, and if it's an issue of b'char, havara, yalf b'meiser. So by b'char also, we will learn out from meiser. So meaning we have this chain reaction. We know meiser from, we know kachim from o. We know meiser from kachim. We know b'char from meiser. Inami nidma amrit lo duchsev ach b'char shar achi hu shar u'b'char u'shar. Klayim ibai, or another reason why we would know by Bukhar that klayim are excluded even without the word seh, even without Rava telling me this binyanav, is because we already exclude nidme from Bukhar. We already say that a nidme is not included in the din of Bukhar. How do we know that? Because it says, ach Bukhar shar, achi hu shar Bukhar shar. Only if the daddy looks like the baby, right? Only if the animal's a shar and the Bukhar is a shar, then you say that the animal's considered is going to be chayiv in Bukhar. But klayim ibayi, so then it's obvious. Therefore, if you're going to exclude nidme from bechar, of course you're going to exclude klayim. Because again, as we said before, nidme is a lesser violation. It's a lesser problem than klayim is. So bottom line is, Rava made the statement that the word se teaches us to kol ha'Torah kula, that we exclude klayim. Where? We don't see it anywhere. Where in kol ha'Torah kula do we need the word se to exclude klayim? We have plenty of places where we exclude klayim, but we already know it from other places. We don't need to use the word se to exclude klayim. So, before we answer the question, a couple of short ha'aros. When it comes to Meiser, Rav Shechter always likes to quote that the Hamak Davar and the Hosafos in the back of the Hamak Davar writes that it's interesting that you don't find anywhere in the Torah that it says Beferish where the Meiser goes, where the Meiser Behema goes to. He says Meikra Din, it goes to the Bailam himself, the Minhag is Nagulite in the Kohen, the Kemo Bechor, that the Minhag has become that you give it to the Kohen. That was apparently, he says, there are Pesukim in Devar Yamim that indicate that that's what they would do, that they would give the Maaser Behema to the Kohen. Just says it should be Kodesh. The Pasuk doesn't say exactly who it goes to. That's what we always say over when we talk about Bechor, the Vart of Rav Pam, that Rav Pam talks about what's the idea of Maaser Behema, how do you take the Maaser Behema? You don't say, oh, I have a thousand sheep, so Maaser Behema, I'm going to take 100 and I'll give it away. So why? What do? You count out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 is Meiser. And again, as they come out, one by one, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is Meiser. So Rav Pam, we always say over, Rav Pam's Vart is, why is it that way? Why can't you just take a census, know exactly how many sheep you have, and give 10%? Because if you have to give 100 sheep, so that hurts a little bit. You have to give so much. It's very emotionally, it's difficult to give away that much. But when you count one by one, so then it strikes you. You say, 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 5 for me, 6 for me, 7 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me, and 10, 1 for, you know, 1 for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that you could deal with. That's a little more, makes it psychologically a little more easy to deal with, to realize just how much we get in terms of, in relation to how much we actually give. Okay. Also by Bechor, we've mentioned in the past as well, that by Bechor, even though it's Kadosh Mirechem, the din of Bechor is that a Bechor is Kadosh, it has inherent Kedusha, nevertheless there's a mitzvah l'kadsho, right? We go out of our way to be Mekadesh a Bechor, and that's something that's also not totally unique to Bechor. We have that idea elsewhere. Kiddush on Shabbos. Shabbos is kavua v'kaima, right? It's not like Yom Tov where it's up to Klal Yisrael to be Mekadesh the Moadim. Shabbos is kavua v'kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshis. Nevertheless, what do we do? As soon as Shabbos starts, we're Mekadesh the Shabbos, right? But that's sometimes there's value in taking something that's already Kodesh and declaring it as Kedusha, recognizing that Kedusha and bringing it out and expressing that Kedusha, even though the Kedusha is there with you or without you, just to show the recognition as the mitzvah of show the recognition of the Kedusha as the mitzvah. Anyway, but bottom line, we're at a kasha over here. The Gemara just asked, how can Rava say that we know to be mima'it klayim anytime the Torah uses the word se always comes to exclude klayim? In every area of halacha where we exclude klayim, there's some other drasha to exclude klayim, we don't need seh. Elokin mar de Rava linin peter chamar. No, when did Rava say his din? He said his din in regards to peter chamar. Right? The halacha is when you have a firstborn donkey, so it has a certain level of kedusha, you need to be poda it on a different animal, and on a kosher animal, and you're poda it on that different kosher animal, and that kosher animal takes on the kedusha, and the chamar is no longer kadosh. Kiditnan, ein podin lo be'egel, v'lo b'chaya, v'lo b'shchuta, v'lo b'treifa, v'lo b'kayim, v'lo b'koy. You can't be poda chamar on an egel. Why not on a calf? Not on, I'm not sure why not. V'lo b'chaya, nor on a chaya. You can't be poda on, right, because Rashi just gives examples of a chaya, like tzvi v'ayil. V'lo b'shchuta, nor on an animal that was shchuta, because the pasuk says seh, and that's not a seh. V'lo betrayt, meaning if it's already shechted, it's no longer a shame seh. Now it's called lamb chops. It's not called a seh anymore. V'lo betreifa, nor can you be poded on an animal that's a treifa. V'lo beklayim, you can't be poded on klayim. How do I know you can't be poded on klayim? Because when the pasuk tells me to be poded, the petach hamar uses the word seh. So from the word seh alone, I know that you can't be poded on klayim. V'lo bekoy, and also not on a koy, which comes from both behema and chaya. So it has characteristics of chaya, so you can't be poded on a koy either. But the point is, that we know from the word se to be ma'id klayim. That's what Rav was talking about in Kol HaTorah Kula, that we're ma'id klayim from the word se. Okay, good. So says the Gemara, Rav Lazar, the matir b'klayim. What about Rav Lazar who holds that it's mutter with klayim? The son of Rav Lazar matir b'klayim neishu se l'may hilchsa. But according to Rav Lazar who holds that you can be poda a petach hamar on klayim, then what was Rav teaching me according to him? I mean, then what was Rav talking about when Rav said that whenever you have the word se, it comes to be my klayim? Some of the Rav Lazar kiyin mar derava l'tamei shenolad min atahar v'ibura min atamei. Rav Lazar must have been talking about a case of a tamei animal, non-kosher animal, that was born from a tahar animal, meaning his mother was a kosher animal, but the father, v'ibura min atamei, the father was a tamei animal. That's what he's talking about. That's the kind of klayim that he was referring to. Not stam, regular klayim that he was excluding, because Rav Lazar says, no, regular klayim are included. You're allowed to be poda to the peter chamar with regular klayim. It's a specific kind of klayim when you have a kosher animal that emerges from a union of a kosher and non-kosher animal. Udalok Rav Yeshua, that's against Rav Yeshua. Di Rav Yeshua, Rabbi Shua knows that from a different drasha, that a dafka has to be a father that's a keves and a mother that's a kivsa. But Rabbi Lazar says, no, we learn it from the word se, that the word se teaches me that if the child comes, if the little animal comes from a mother and father, one who's tar, one who's tameh, so that's not going to be usable for pidyon peter chamar. But the fact that regular klayim is not usable is not true according to Rabbi Lazar. You are allowed to use regular klayim. Just in frankly, Mara Torah mitameh amima abra, is it even possible for a tahar to become pregnant from a tameh animal? Can you have an animal that comes out from a mother that's a kosher animal and father that's a non-kosher animal? Is that even shayach? Can a non-kosher animal impregnate a kosher animal? Says Gemara, yeah, sure, in. Yes, absolutely. The kaimlan, the avar mikolut, Rabbi Shimon, that we hold that it could be impregnated from an animal that has connected hooves, does not have split hooves, and we assume, like Rabbi Shimon, that the animal has connected hooves. By definition, it's a non-kosher animal. What do you mean? Don't we always assume that an animal that's connected hooves? What do you mean, Kribi Shimon? So you look at Rashi. Rashi explains what we're talking about. Call it parsos of kalutos, v'nolad minatar, Rashi says. An animal whose parents were kosher animals, but for some reason the baby came out without split hooves. Rabbi Shimon kari le'tameh. Rabbi Shimon would say such an animal is a non-kosher animal. Ah, that's the chiddush. We were talking about the father is a non-kosher animal, not that it's from a non-kosher min. The father comes from a kosher min, but it for whatever reason, its hooves aren't split. So the Rabbi Shimon holds such an animal is not kosher. Ditanya b'bchoros. Rabbi Shimon omer gamel gamel shnei pamim. Echad gamel anolad min ha'gamala, ve'echad gamel anolad min ha'para. That if you have a gamel that's nolad min ha'para, you have a non-kosher animal that was nolad from a kosher animal. Even if the father was kosher, Mishor Gomer Kashle Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon still would say it's going to be Aser. Upalagale Rabbi Shua, but Rabbi Shua disagrees. Hechadi Bartum in Atar, Mishor Sheino Kalit, Umatiro Besimon Echad Shaltara, O Malagero, O Mafris Parsa. Rabbi Shua would say, no. If the parents are kosher animals, you don't need both Simonim on the baby. So if the baby comes out with hooves that are not split, Rabbi Yeshua would say it's still kosher. V'dorish ezel osochles ha-gamol zeh yatochel b'simen echad. You can't eat a gamol with only one simen. Avl yesh achar shatochel b'simen echad, Rabbi Yeshua would say, but there is an animal that only has one simen of kashrus, and nevertheless you're allowed to eat it. Ve'zeh zeh tamen al minatar, vibur minatar. That's specifically a non-kosher animal that seems to have come out from two kosher parents that you're allowed to eat. Yachalafi bura min atame. So I might think, even if the father was tame, was a non kosher animal, kolomar yach shem shani machshir bo kach ani machshir bebno im nisabra parahim enu. I might think that, wait a second, just like Rabbi Shua says, I might think that just like I allow the non kosher offspring, I would also allow if that non-kosher offspring impregnated another kosher animal to allow the next generation of non-kosher offspring, no, you need both parents to be kosher in order for the baby to be kosher. So essentially what Rabbi Yoshua says, we learn from Kvasim, that if the father was a non-kosher cow, a non-kosher ox, and the mother was a kosher cow, and the baby's a non-kosher cow, that Rabbi Shua says that's no good. The father's okay, you can eat the father, but you can't eat the baby because the baby does not come from two kosher animals, even though the father is kosher in the sense that you're allowed to eat it, but it's not kosher in the sense that it doesn't have split hooves. So that din that Rabbi Shua learns out from Kvasim, that's what Rava learns out from Seh. That's Rava's whole chiddush of Seh. That Seh comes to be memayit, this kind of klayim, a non-kosher father with a kosher mother, and the non-kosher baby emerges. That's the kind of claim that Seth comes to exclude. So a lot about Simanim over here. What's the machlokas exactly between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shua that Rashi quotes over here? The Rabbi Shimon holds that the baby comes out of two kosher animals, and the baby has non-split hooves, that it's kosher, and Rabbi Shua says not kosher. So the Rogachover, I think, explains that there's a general machlokas when it comes to simanim of kashrus. Are they a simon or are they a siba? Meaning, is it that without the simanim, it's not kosher? That's what makes the animal kosher? Or is it no? There are certain types of animals that are kosher. Now, the way to tell whether this animal belongs to that min that's kosher is by looking at the simanim of kashrus. So if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that even if the animal does not have split hooves, it still could be kosher as long as it comes from two kosher parents. Well, if it comes from two kosher parents, you know what kind of min it is. So you would assume that the simanim kashrus are simen. They're only an indicator to tell you what kind of min it is. But you know what kind of min, so you don't need to look at the simanim kashrus to determine. If, however, you would hold like Rabbi Yeshua, then no, if it doesn't have split hooves, mil, it's not kosher. There's nothing to talk about. This animal is not going to be kosher. Did I say it backwards? I said it backwards, I think. Okay, the other thing, I switched around Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shua. But if you hold that, it's that the animal is just not going to be kosher, even though it has a kosher mother and a kosher father, so then obviously you hold that it's a siba, that the simani kashrus are what determines the kashrus of the animal. This is an interesting discussion in general. The idea of bedikas simanim, how important an issue is bedikas simanim. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel. So he says the mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel shenitztavinu livdok simanei behema v'chaya kishenirtza la'achol mehem. That it's the mitzvah is to check the simanim of behema v'chaya when you want to eat from it. And he goes so far as to say that if someone eats from an animal without checking the simanim, and it turns out that he ate a kosher animal, the animal is perfectly kosher, so he says, you violated mitzvah saseh. That there's a mitzvah saseh dafka of bedika simanim. And that in fact, is the shita of Rambam. Right? That's the idea, that's the Rambam's psak. The Rambam says, I don't know what you're talking about. The simanim are just there to tell you if it's kosher or not. If you got lucky and you ate something and it happened to have been kosher, so what do you mean, bedika simanim? There's no mitzvah, there's no reason to have to be bodik the simanim other than to just know if it's kosher. But no, Sefer HaChinuch says that there's a dafka mitzvah of bedika simanim. It's not just about knowing what min it is. You have to actually go out of your way and go and check for the simanim. Just in general, when it comes to kashrus of animals, we know the Rishonim go to great length to explain that kashrus has to have some sort of effect on a person's neshama. Sefer HaChinuch writes that the mishrashei mitzvah of the idea of kashrus is, he says that it's that we use our guf to do things to accomplish for our neshama, and we know that just like food affects our guf, it affects our physical health, the types of foods we eat also affect our spiritual health. And that's why predatory animals are generally not kosher and things like that. There are certain things that we eat that are good, and this is part of the general idea of timtum alev, that we assume that when we eat non-kosher foods, it has this incredibly negative spiritual effect on us when it comes to eating the non-kosher foods. Okay, but that's whether it does or doesn't. That's not. I mean, either way, we have to observe the halacha. But that's how they give some time to the issue of kashrus, and that's actually taken the halacha though, the idea of timtum alev. Because we've mentioned many times in the past that sometimes you can get around some of the other issues. There are heterim sometimes for some of the other issues. We're talking about a katan, a zachai, a mitzvah, or something like that. He's below the age of chinuch. But still, we're always concerned for timtum alev. We're always concerned for the negative spiritual effect that non-kosher things can have on the neshama. And therefore, even with ketani ketanim, even with the youngest of children, we're makbid for that they should never put something that's not kosher in their mouth. We're makbid dafka by the area of kashrus. Because for whatever reason, we assume that by kashrus, like the Rishonim write, like the Sefer HaChinuch writes, we assume by kashrus more so than by anything else, it has this strong negative effect on the child. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Boy Ravas, so Rav asks the following shayla. Harei alai ola v'hifrashar. Let's say a guy says, I'm accepting upon myself, harei alai, to bring a carbon ola. Now, he happens to be generous. So what animal does he choose for a carbon ola? He's mafrashashar for a carbon ola, the biggest possible animal. Uba'achar v'ganim, then someone comes and steals that shar. So me pater ganav nafshe bekeves l'rabbanon uba ola sa'of l'rabbanon ben Azariah. Can the ganav go and give him a sheep back or an ola sa'of according to Blazer ben Azariah? Meaning, when you say harei alai ola, you're mechayiv yourself to bring an ola. You were never mechayiv to bring a shar. You chose to bring a shar. So if the ganav stole the shar, can he give you back something that you could still use to fulfill your mitzvah, but isn't what you had planned on using? So why do we say keves l'rabbanon and ola sa'of l'rabbanon ben Azariah d'tanan? It's just a machlokas tanaim. What's the minimal animal you're allowed to bring when you say stam hare alayola? But either way, you don't have to bring a shar. So what's the din? Can the ganav pay back less than a shar? Mi amrinan, do we say shame ola kabbali lave, that the guy only was makabal upon himself to bring a carbon ola, so all I need to do is replace a carbon ola for him? Or maybe the original guy can say, no, I intended to do the mitzvah min amuvchar. I wanted to bring the best carbon ola, not just any carbon ola. And therefore, you can't possibly just give me a lesser animal in place. I want to bring the best carbon ola. Now, Tosfos points out, Nodr himself, obviously, if he loses his shar, then he doesn't have to replace it with another shar, because he can't have a time against himself, right? That's obvious. If the owner, the guy who said Harei Alai Ola, loses his own shard and then wants to bring a carbon, then there's no doubt that he doesn't have to pay for another shard. He can use a kevis, because the chiv was only on him to bring carbon ola. He never said Harei Alai Sharla Ola. He said Harei Alai Ola. So that for sure is okay. The question is, over here someone stole the shard and lost it. So does the ganav have to pay back a shard, or can the ganav pay back a lesser animal? So says Gemara Basar Dibai Yehad Pashat. After asking the question, he was poshet the question. Ganav pater atzma bekeves rabbanon ba'olasof rabbanon ben Azariah. Yes, he can pater himself with a lesser animal. Ravach b'ed Ravika masin lebehedya. Ravach b'ed Ravika had it taught beferish that Amar Rava harei alai ola v'hifra sharu ba'achar v'ganvo pater atzma bekeves rabbanon ba'olasof rabbanon ben Azariah. That you can pater yourself with a lesser animal. Says Maritz Chai is an unbelievable chiddush. Beautiful Maritz Chai. He says near be'enai. Ayin shuvus maram mints muva b'shuvus chacham suyisim kuf beis. The shuvus maram mints quoted in the Tshuvas Chacham Svi in Simen Kuf Beis, to Ratzel Lifshot Mikan, who wants to suggest, based on this Gemara, Demisha Kana Esrog Hadar B'damim Yikarim. Say someone spends $100 on an Esrog, buys a beautiful Esrog for a lot of money. Vish'ilo La'acher, and he lends his Esrog to somebody else. You know, very often someone has a very nice Esrog, so that his friends want to also be able to use the beautiful Esrog. They can't all afford to buy such a beautiful Esrog, so they'll borrow the Esrog from him. Never that slow. One of the guys he lends the esrog to loses the esrog. What does the guy have to pay back? Says Maritz Chayis, the matzi pater nafshe be esrog kosher. Give him back a kosher esrog. $30 esrog, $40. Give him back kosher esrog. Alf bishenu hadar kol kach, even though it's not as beautiful. Why? So v'chacham tzvi hisaglav the kanlov. Meaning what? Why? The point is from our Gemara. Our Gemara says you stole a shar, you lost the shar, but what did the guy need the shar for? Just to be yotzei his mitzvah, to be yotzei the mitzvah of carbon ola. he could be also in mitzvah of carbonola with a lesser animal. Granted, it's not as muhudar, it's not as beautiful to bring a bird as it is to bring a shark. Okay, but it's a mitzvah. All he needs is the mitzvah. So you can give him so too by the esrog, you can do the same. Chacham Tzvi says, no, that's crazy. You can't say that by the esrog. Chacham Tzvi, he's a galav. The kanlov sidom mamon. Over here, granted, you're giving him back something that's a lesser animal and will be a lesser mitzvah, but at least it's mamon. Meaning you're giving him back mamon. You're giving him back money. You didn't make him lose any money because he's going to bring in either animal that you give him back. He's going to bring as a carbonola. It doesn't cost him anything. Let's say the guy wanted to sell his esrog. Let's say on the second day of Yantif, he figured, okay, I did the mitzvah d'oraisa on the first day with a beautiful esrog. Now I might as well make money off of it. So he wanted to sell his esrog. So if he wanted to sell his esrog, he'd be able to make money off of it. Now you can give him back a barely kosher esrog. He won't be able to make nearly as much money off of it if he wanted to sell the esrog. So he says, but wait a second, are you allowed to sell an esrog in the middle of Yantif? So that's what the Maharsha deals with next. He says, yeah, pashas, you're allowed to sell an esrog in the middle of Yantif. He says, it's just tashmisha mitzvah. For instance, you have a kosher pair of tefillin, you're allowed to sell a kosher pair of tefillin. You shouldn't if it's your only one. But if you have, if you're a sofer and you have a kosher pair of tefillin, you're allowed to sell tashmisha kedusha. So kol shekein, you should be allowed to sell tashmisha mitzvah, even though it's hutzul mitzvah. So you're not allowed to use that esrog for anything else for the duration of yantif other than the mitzvah of esrog. Still, granted, so it's hutzul mitzvah. So that's fine. Doesn't mean that it's tashmisha. Look, tashmisha mitzvah are nizrakin after the zman mitzvah. You're allowed to even throw away tashmisha mitzvah. So during the zman mitzvah, you're allowed to sell the tashmisha mitzvah. So since there's a monetary loss to the person, says the Chacham Tzvi, so then there's no doubt that you're allowed to you cannot pay back a lesser esrog. The Chacham Tzvi, just to make the point sharper, says just try to compare this to some other case of a mitzvah. Imagine you steal a Sefer Torah that costs $70,000, the most gorgeous Sefer Torah, $70,000 Sefer Torah. You think you can give back a $30,000 Sefer Torah? You know, Sefer Torah, it's not nearly as mahudar. You really think that's acceptable? I mean, it's a davar pashut. We know intuitively that it can't be. It can't be that you'd be able to. The mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is fulfilled with both. It's just one is more mahudar than the other. But still, now it could be the Sefer Torah example is a little bit different because it's not just. Well, actually, no. I mean, it's going forward, it's more, meaning the only difference might be that there's a limit to when it's used until the esrog and the carbon is used. The carbon is once, and the esrog is just till the adiyantif, whereas the Sefer Torah is forever. So maybe since it's forever, it has more of an impact when you give back a lesser Sefer Torah. But anyway, okay, let's see the new Mishnah. Machru chutz me'echem mi'me'e shabov. The guy sells, he steals an animal and then sells it except for 1/100th of it. Or he has a shutfus in the animal, meaning I'm one of the shutfin and I just take the whole thing. I steal the half that doesn't belong to me as well. And then I shecht it or sell it. Hashochet from the snavel biyado, where I shecht the animal and it becomes an avela while I'm shechting it. Hanocher v'ma'akar, I do different types of non-kosher shechita, where I stab it, I uproot, I just pull out the simanim, I do things that don't make it kosher. Mishalim tashlum kefil, ve'en mishalim tashlum abra v'chamisha. In all these cases, you pay kefil, you don't pay dal v'hei. Now, why don't you pay dal v'hei? Rashi says, even according to the Rabbanan, who says you don't need a shechita ru'uya, right? Rabbi Shimon held that shechita shein ru'uya is lo shema shechita. Even according to the Rabbanan, that shechita shein ru'uya shema shechita, but over here it's not even a shechita. When you're nocher, when you're ma'akar, when you just stab the animal, when you just pull out the simanim, so that's not called shechita ru'uya. That's not only is that not called shechita ru'uya, it's not even shechita b'chlal. Right? There's a difference between not being shechita b'chlal, not being a shechita ru'uya. So anyway, first the Gemara is going to discuss the first case in the Mishnah. You sold it chutz mi'echel mi'meya. So my chutz mi'echel mi'meya shemo. How much do you have to be mishayer in the mechira in order for it to be pater from the dalar v'hei? What exactly does it mean except for 1/100th? Is that just quantitative or is there some qualitative issue as well? Right, if I leave out the animal's toenails from the sale, is that really good? I don't even know if animals have toenails, but let's say I do. I leave out the animal's toenails from the sale, so is that going to be enough to say that I'm going to be punted from Dalit Vahey? Or does it have to be 1/100th might mean the heart also? Right, which part of the animal am I talking about over here? Samarav, opinion number one, chutz mi davar anitarima b'shchita. No, you leave out something that would have been mutter with shchita, meaning like the meat of the animal that would be kosher based on the shchita. But leaving out the or, the horns, the shearings, right? That's not nitar b'shchita. That's not something that was also before and it becomes mutar b'shchita. So that would not be called a shiur. The Levi amar chutz migizoseha. Levi says, no, you leave out the shearings, that's called a shiur. V'chein tanya b'masnisa chutz migizoseha. And we also have a brisa, it's chutz migizoseha. Meisvei, in fact, but we have a brisa, machra chutz miyad chutz miragla chutz mikarna chutz migizoseha. Eino mishan tashum yarbav chamisha. If you sell it and you leave out the hands, the legs, the four legs, the hind legs, etc., the shearings, so you don't pay dalet vehei. Rebbe Omer, davar amakev b'shchita misham tashum yarbav chamisha, v'sheinu makev b'shchita misham tashum yarbav chamisha. Rebbe would say anything that's ma'akev the shchita, meaning anything that if you were to take it away from the animal before the shchita, it would have made the animal an avela while it was still alive, and therefore not eligible to become kosher through shchita. So that would, if it's a davar ma'akev the shchita, then you're not going to pay dal vehe when you subsequently shech the animal, because the animal was not, meaning if you leave that out of the sale, so then that would not be, you wouldn't be chayv dal vehe for that sale. But something that's not ma'akev b'shchita, something that if you were to shech the animal, had the animal been missing that, it would still be a good shchita, and therefore you would have been chayv dalvei for the shchita, so you can be chayv dalvei when you sell the animal, excluding that part of the animal. If you leave out the keren, even just the horn, you don't pay dalvei. But you leave out the gizos, you do pay dalvei. So bishlam levi ketan kama. I see where Levi's coming from. Levi, you said chutz migizosei, you pay dalvei. Exactly like the Tanakama, El Rav Keman Amri. But who's Rav going like? Rav said that you leave only Davra Nitar Imo B'Shchita, like the meat. So Rav Damar Kiaitan, and Rav was like the following. The Tanya Rav Shimon Lazomer, Machra Chutz Miyadav, Chutz Miragla, Einu Mishan Tashlum Yarbav Chamisha. Chutz Mikarna, Chutz Migizaseh, Mishan Tashlum Yarbav Chamisha. Right? What's the difference between the Regal and the Yad versus the Karen and the Giza? Is that the Regal and the Yad are Nitar B'Shchita. So B'maikam, what's the Machlokas about? All these different Shitas that we had. So Tanakama Savar B'Tavcho, Kulo bi'inan. You need to shech the entire thing. Umachro kulo bi'inan. You need the mechir on the entire thing. For Rabbi Savar, v'tavcha mididavi b'tzvicha. Rabbi would say, no, v'tavcha means something that becomes mutter through shchita. Lafuka mididavi b'tzvicha, as opposed to excluding anything that doesn't become mutter through shchita. Umachro dumyut t'tvicha. And therefore, when you sell the animal, what has to be sold? Whatever would have to be shechted in order for the to be chayv dalvei for the shchita. So we compare the mechir to the shchita. For Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar savar karna delo lemigza kaima have a shear, a horn which is not meant to be sheared off is considered to be something that you leave out of the sale. That's leaving out something substantial, and you wouldn't pay dalav vehei. Gizo said the lemigza kaima love a shear mashan to shumei arba v'chamisha. But the gizos which are meant to be shorn off anyway is not considered leaving out of the sale of the animal because it was meant to be shorn off, and therefore you would pay the dalav vehei even when you leave out the gizos from the sale. V'idach tana d'vei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar savar, and the other tana d'vei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, yadav v'raglav d'tzrichi tvich av ishir v'lo m'shem t'shumi arba v'chamisha, yadav and raglav which require shchita is considered leaving something out, and therefore you would not pay dal v'hei, karen v'gizos sa, but if you leave out the karen and the gizos, t'lo t'srichi tvicha, which do not require tvicha, lo av ishir is not considered shir. Just one more line, kashad Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, isn't it a stira within Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because we had two of the different opinions, both attributed to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. No, it's two different tanaim, both trying to express the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and they argue about what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds.